Oh, Mr. Sun, Sun, Mr. Golden Sun, please shine down on me. Oh, Mr. Sun, Sun, Mr. Golden Sun, hiding behind a tree. These little children are asking you to please come out so we can play with you. Mr. Sun, Sun, Mr. Golden Sun, please shine down
Mr.
on
Sun,
me.
Mr. Sun, don't hide from us. The Eclipse 2017, showing us something in the sky and showing us something about ourselves. A glimmer of hope? Well, I certainly hope so, and I want to share it with you. This is Father Voskin, a priest of the Armenian Church, coming back from Oregon right now. This is episode number 481 of The Next Step, where we're going to weave it all together. And I invite you to take this step with us right now.
Hiding behind a tree, these little children are asking me to please come out so we can play with you.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes, welcoming you to our 10th year of broadcasting The Next Step. The Next Step is a step, a stride, moving us forward. Here, Father Voskin provides his unique and distinctive voice for Armenian Orthodoxy as providing an intelligent and practical answer to the challenges of life. Since 2008, these next steps have been taken toward and for the disenfranchised members of the church community, as well as for those searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, as well as for the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient orthodoxy. So turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
I am so glad that a few days have passed since this event. Otherwise, if I had to record like right after that, I don't know what you would hear. You would hear the echo of silence. I mean, I was in awe. You can't put words to it. And I don't know, even now, just 3-4 days removed from the event, I'm finding it difficult to talk about. Of course, I'm referring to the solar eclipse, the one that, well, that was long in the waiting. 99 years ago this happened over America, from one coast to the other coast. And once again, this year, 2017, took 99 years, but it happened from the west coast to the east coast. We saw the eclipse from Oregon to the Carolinas. And we happened to be up in Oregon, and I'll be sharing with you my feelings, what happened up there. But I don't know where you were, where you happened to be, but I'm sure it touched you in a very unique manner. And that's what we're going to be sharing today. We're going to be talking about this event, how it touches us, how it inspires us, what it does to us. We'll be also talking a little bit about what's going on in the rest of the news, particularly with the hatred that we see all around us. And maybe let's make some connections between everything, and I think you're going to like where this is going, because, as I said, I've had a few days to really contemplate and think about it. First of all, the event itself, a total eclipse of the sun. Now, I got to tell you, growing up, these were the things that fascinated me. Space fascinated me. And I do remember being a young kid just waking up early, early in the morning to watch the launches of the Apollo and Mercury. Before the Apollo, there's the Mercury. But these were the pioneering efforts in space flight, the Apollo launches, and being so fascinated with all of it. And I do remember back in the 60s, there was an eclipse of the sun. And being in elementary school, I remember the buzz. Don't look at the sun, you will go blind. They would tell us this. And I guess they're telling us even louder right now. They did, at least for this past few weeks. Really scared us into wearing the proper eye protection. Actually, I was a little ahead of the game because I was looking forward to this since the 1960s or the 1970s, I should say. I do remember when they first set up the Voyager. Do you remember the Voyager? Well, it's been 40 years. 1977, they sent it up, and it was right around this time. It was, I believe it was August 20th that the Voyager was sent up, and Carl Sagan at the time had put on this gold disc with sounds from planet Earth and just sending it out. And I believe it was 3 or 4, maybe 5 years ago that it went, it reached the Voyager, after 35 years, reached the outer limits of our solar system. But I was fascinated by this, about looking around and wondering what is out there. And so, when I say that I've been looking forward to this for decades, it's not a misstatement. But it was about last year that I told my family, we're going to go do this. And at that time, there was talk about Kentucky, because at various points on the map, the eclipse has a longer duration, and Kentucky was identified as the center where it would take place. We were going to go to Kentucky. Anyway, long story short, we made a few different schedules. We ended up in Portland, Oregon, and just below Portland in Salem, there would be the total eclipse of the sun. So we were in an area that was maybe about 25 miles above the totality place. And there we were told we would have a 99.7% eclipse of totality. You know, imagine, 99.7, isn't that wild? Or was it 99.3? Anyway, whatever it was under 1%. That's not a 3% or a 7%, but we're talking about under 1% of the sun. And we had a chance to witness that as well. Anyway, we went up to Oregon. It was a fascinating ride, in many ways, yes. And yes, capitalism is well and alive in America. They took advantage of the situation. Little cardboard glasses were selling for $20, $30, $40 a pop. I even went on Amazon and saw them for $40 a piece, made out of cardboard. These were special glasses with which you can observe the solar eclipse. Don't look at the sun without these glasses, they warned us. So they were gouging. Yes, they were gouging prices for these things. In fact, in Salem, Oregon, the hotel I just checked for that evening. And there were many, many hotels, but that evening, this is according to Expedia, I checked that weekend, there was one hotel chain that had a single room left for the night of the 20th, August 20th, so you could watch it the 21st in the morning from the hotel room. $1,300 for a Super 8 motel room. Super 8, you know, the ones that, one class above, if you could say that, one class above the Motel 6 kind of concept. Anyway, gouging all over, and they got us, too. They got us good, too, on our way up there. We actually drove. I went with Susan, and then had just a delightful weekend because the kids all came up and we were together as a family. And actually, the eclipse ended up being sort of the icing on the cake because we had a chance to celebrate with the family this eclipse and all kinds of stuff, including birthdays and anniversaries. So it was just a very, very special family moment. But on the way up, yeah, we got stuck at some seedy little motel where they knew we were stuck over there, like we couldn't drive any further, forest fires and all kinds of stuff, and they just gouged us. Anyway, it's just one reason why I'm going to get a Yelp address as quickly as I can. Going to start Yelping. But let's get back to the eclipse. It came on Monday, where the hype for it was all around us. And as we're watching, you know, you're seeing the Earth around you. You're seeing the environment around you get darker and darker. And it's not the darkness that you would feel on a regular day. It's the darkness that you would feel at a sunset. But it had a red aura to it. It was almost surreal. It was almost surreal. And I heard one commentator, and he went on and he said, "The tyranny of the sun will be taken over by the moon." Just a moon, but we call it the moon. That was very poetic. And you know what? You felt poetry. I have to tell you what I said earlier when we started the show. I was lost for words. If you've ever seen that movie Contact with Jodie Foster, the Jodie Foster character goes and is transported to another place, and she makes this discovery because she's all about science, and she made a case to be on this voyage to this other planet, this other star system, and she gets there and she realizes that she's the wrong person to have sent. You needed to have sent the poet. You needed to have sent somebody who could articulate what the experience was about. And I felt in that same position, like I'm at a loss for words. You're in awe. The moon is taken over the sun. The tyranny of the sun has been taken over by the moon. And it occurred to me that even the poet is at a loss for words. And the only thing you can do is what the psalmist prescribes. Be still and know that I am God. That was the experience of totality. You got cheering all around. You got people excited. I mean, we were in our backyard where we were staying, and we heard little kids across the fence, "Mommy, Daddy, it's happening, it's happening, it's happening," you know. And at some point, you realize that words fail you. You can't express it. And in fact, the day before was Sunday. We were at the St. Kevor Church in Portland. I had a chance to celebrate the Divine Liturgy. We were up there with the family. And in my sermon, I reflected about this. I was thinking in many ways of how to bring the eclipse, because it's you know you can't avoid this. I mean, you're there. You're in Portland for a reason. You're there at the eclipse site. You're at ground zero for a reason. You're there to witness, to experience this thing that is beyond you. And it occurred to me that that's exactly what this eclipse does. It's the reset button. You've become so immune to the wonders, to the magic of life. The eclipse is the reset button. It resets your life. And you start wondering again. It's that child that you see in front of the TV, 4 a.m, watching these spacecrafts going up into space and realizing that there's something more to life than just who you are. The Voyager, 40 years ago, it was sent out, and it's now beyond our solar system. In one of the last pictures it took and sent back to us of our solar system. Never forget this. You could look it up. I'll see if I can find it and put a link on today's show notes. It's from, it was either from Neptune or Uranus, one of the last planets in the system. And what they did is they turned the camera back towards the sun. And so you have this image, you have this shot of our solar system, looking at it. And way out there, you see the sun, tiny, tiny, tiny little speck. And you see the rays of sunlight, small little sunlight. And then they point out to you, and if they didn't point it out, you wouldn't be able to tell. They point out a little blue dot, and they say, "That's Earth." And I believe it was Carl Sagan who made the point that, you know, everybody that you have ever known, everybody who you've ever written about, read about, every figure in history, everyone you have ever loved, Everyone you have ever talked to has lived and existed on that tiny little dot. It's humbling. We need that humbling, don't we? We need that humbling in this world. Look what's going on. We're going to be talking about Charlottesville in a few minutes. We're going to be looking at what the hate attitude in the world. What are we missing? We're talking about we're better than you are. Since when? Every one of us has existed on that little blue dot. All of history as we know it, everything we have recorded has been on that little blue dot. It is humbling. That's how we felt. And that's what I wanted to share with the congregation on Sunday. It's like these things that we watch, you know, it's really funny. Let me read you this. This is off of one of the newspapers that was printed up there. What's it called? The Advocate. And it was dedicated to the solar, to the solar eclipse, the entire issue. And there was a little section that caught my eye. It said, "Bad solar poetry." And I thought about it. Yeah, it's so true. They labeled it properly. Listen to this. "The sun has a good laugh. Looking upon you, one sees the light and goes blind. Sick burn, sun, sick burn." A poem by Anika Lutenbach. Here's another one. "Shady sun. The sun climbed up high into the sky. I collected its light into my eye. The moon didn't like this. Then it got really pissed. And so it threw some shade from up high." That was from Andy Hahn. One more. Lament 104. "O horrid star, rise no more on us, the minds that have grown like a crust on this, your scratched rock." That was by Scott Bittner. So they've written these, you know, bad solar poetry. And I started thinking to myself, wow, you know, there's so many people that will try to extrapolate, will try to give reasoning for these things. But here's the fascinating part of this. This solar eclipse that we witnessed here in the America, that went from one coast to the other coast, was predicted before there was an America, before this land was even here. In fact, the entire patterns of the sky has fascinated people to the point that astronomy was created for this particular reason. And this is how I believe this is how astronomy even began. If I'm not mistaken, I think it was because of the solar eclipse. These phenomena would happen. And you know what? As it darkened that day, last Monday, as it darkened, I was thinking to myself, how wild. How wild if you didn't know anything about this. What if you didn't know? What if you didn't have science? How did people of old times react to it when all of a sudden the sun that they see every day is blackened? It's gone. Or a piece has been nibbled out of it. What do you think? Do you remember the story of Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's court? And he saves him from death, from his death penalty, by knowing about the solar eclipse. And I think that was what really fascinated me the most about this eclipse, was that these patterns, the system of the universe, is all set. And it's precise. And it's beautiful. It is beautiful, the way it works, the way it falls into place. From centuries ago, they knew that this solar eclipse would take place. They knew where it would be precisely. And, you know, it was really remarkable. I believe it was 1018. I think that was the time that it took place. 1018, it went dark. 906, I remember that one. 906, they said the moon would start entering into the sun's path. And sure enough, put on our glasses. Now, I was a little bit smart. I didn't go for the $40 pair of paper glasses. But because I had prepared so long ago, I ended up getting some welder's glasses for my family. So we had these welder glasses that were really convenient, very inexpensive. We put them on, and we look like really official crew watching this this event. And with the solar glasses, we were looking up at that sun, and it was just it was fascinating, you know, having these heavy duty welder's masks on. But we were looking up at it, and it was just unbelievable that right at that time, 9:06, the moon started entering the sun's path. And you start seeing it start eating away at the sun until you get to the point of totality. And then before you know it, you're in the darkness, and then as quick as the darkness came, it goes away. And you know, you feel an emptiness at that moment. It's a very strange feeling, because something huge has happened. Something big has happened. Something bigger than yourself that has stimulated your mind, that has given you an opportunity to think, to allow you to go beyond the boundaries. And then all of a sudden you're brought back to this reality, the earth reality. Now, I'm going to share with you some thoughts about this in the context of what we deal with in reality, particularly with what's been going on with Charlottesville and just all around us. It was interesting because right at the end, Susan made the point that, you know, it just almost feels like if you've ever seen the movie Jesus Christ Superstar, there's a very interesting interpretive moment at the end of the movie. It's when all the players get back on the buses, all the actors and singers, dancers, they get back on the buses and they leave. Jesus doesn't get back on that bus. But everybody leaves. In other words, left. In other words, they came, they did their work, they did their job, and now everybody's going back home. And it was like that. And I think that contributed to the emptiness. Do you remember a few weeks ago I was talking about we don't give ourselves enough times to process the magnitude of things that happen? I shared with you personal stories of what happened to me in this past year. I mean, I lost one of the closest friends I have, and yet didn't have the time to deal with that, because we were on a plane going out to South Dakota, to North Dakota, to be with the tribes. We came back and we're dealing with issues, and we come, and you know, the volume of material that gets thrown at us, and we have to do, and thank God that we have this next step, because at least it's my outlet. And I thank you, the listeners, that you give me this opportunity, that it's cathartic, you know, that to have this opportunity to share with you what's going on week by week. But here it is, this huge event, total eclipse of the sun. And it leaves you in awe. It leaves you stunned with your mouth open. Be still and know that I am God. But people want answers. People want to know, how did it feel? How was it? Well, you know what? There's no words. There's no words. And that's that silent moment. What the Buddhist might call the sound of the universe, the Om, right? It's just there. It's the drone. Well, we in Armenians, in our music, we call the dum. There's a melody line going, but it's the dum in the background that just whistles away, that lets you know that life is going on. And this is mysticism. This is the core of what religion should be. Unfortunately, we try to answer things by saying that, well, science doesn't jive with religion. They're not supposed to. Science takes a look at data and says, this is this and this is that. Okay, get over it. That's what science does. God bless that there's science. We understand so much of the world. But you can't understand all of it because you know you have a feeling. You know that you're left in awe. You know your jaw drops, and you know you realize that you have an eternal soul that is beyond just the physical existence. And at that point, you realize, hey, I've got to make both of these talk to each other, communicate with one another. And so you have religion, which answers these questions of who we are, where we're going, what we're all about. And you get into a good system like Armodoxy, right? And I think this is the secret that the Armenian Orthodox tradition has for us, that they've been able to meld these two principles of science and of the mystical and bring it all together. That's what I teach over here. Don't be scared of science. Scientists, don't be scared of religion. If they talk to one another, guess what? You've got this complete understanding of everything around you. And you leave the rest to the mystery of God. And it's okay to say, I don't understand, right? It's okay. It's okay to be in awe. It's okay to accept that your mouth is just dropped open and you're looking at something that's bigger than yourself. It's okay. Not everything has to be understood. In fact, it always fascinates me. You watch these people. And by the way, when you do some traveling, like 18-hour trips through Central California, you listen to a lot of evangelists. It's just interesting how everyone talks in the name of God. Like everybody has the handle on God. Everybody's going to tell you what God is about. How about accepting that God is mystery? It's the beginning point of the Armenian Orthodox faith. Chorhurt chorin anhas anaskispan. Mystery deep, inscrutable. In other words, I can't figure it out without beginning. This is how we define God. It's a mystery. And it's okay. It's okay. I could live with mystery. I could live with the sense of awe. I could live with a sense of wonder, of amazement. I can be the kid that looks at the candy store and looks at the Disneyland in all of life and says, wow, look at that. That's beautiful. I want to play in there. That's what life should be. Ah, but we've complicated it, haven't we? We don't allow life to be as playful as it should be. And that's where we're going to go in the second portion of today's show. Charlottesville. What's going on over there? But true to my calling, I will connect the dots. This isn't the last that you've heard of the eclipse. In fact, in just a few moments, you'll see how it played in right with Charlottesville, right with the experience that we had. And I am looking forward to sharing that with you. Now, on the trip home, we left Oregon, and it took us a two-day trip, and a lot of stuff happened on the way back. But one of the excitements was, as we were leaving, there was like a million people leaving Oregon at the same time. Literally, a million people leaving Oregon at the same time. We were driving and, of course, stuck in this horrendous traffic. And so we were going through the dial of various radio stations in the car just to see what the local atmosphere was like. And we came upon a set of songs that they were playing. And they were all dedicated to the sun. Songs that we had heard, and it was very delightful. And so in that same spirit, let's listen to a sun song right now.
Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun. And I say, it's all right.
A reason and the world it will bloom, cause sunlight's the sky and the sunlight's the moon. Sun has a reason.
One day you'll look to see I've gone, for tomorrow may rain, so I'll follow the sun.
Sunshine of your love. That old sun, it keeps on shining. Yeah, but someday it won't shine for you. And in the morning I'll be leaving, and I'll be your mother too.
It's another tequila sunrise, staring slowly across the sky. Said goodbye
and let me be blinded by the light. Don't let the sun go down on me.
Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. It's not warm when she's away. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. And she's always gone too long. Anytime she goes away.
Good day, sunshine. I need to laugh, and when the sun is out, I've got something I can laugh about. I feel good.
Sunny, yesterday my life was filled with rain. Sunny, you smiled at me and really eased the pain. Now the
with that one, huh? I asked Ken to put together all these songs that were based on the sun, that had connection with the sun. Do you know he showed me a list of over 100 names of songs that we have? He can't. House of the Rising Sun. Somehow didn't make it into today's compilation. But thank you, Ken, for a nice attempt. Yeah, that was nice. We got a lot of things put together to celebrate, to commemorate this auspicious occasion of the total solar eclipse, 2017.
Tu ni mares es mi agarrevas, ta furores is curajax en es, per alces quider vol chacasire,
last Sunday we were in Portland at the St. Kilmark Armenian Church, and there I celebrated the Divine Liturgy and had a chance to give the sermon. Afterwards, met a family, a young family that had traveled quite a way to come to the Portland church, and we were talking, and subsequently we've exchanged a couple emails as well. But the gentleman I was talking with, the father of the family, made an interesting observation. He said, come into the Armenian church, you realize that it's not scripture that gives validity to the church. And I'm just paraphrasing. I'll got to go back to it. You got to realize I just got out of the car like yesterday, so just bear with me. But he says it's not the scriptures that give validity to the church, but it's the church that gives birth and gives validity to those scriptures, and you understand those scriptures through the church. And this is a very enlightened position. In fact, it's one that we share with you here on The Next Step. It's something vital in understanding how things fit together. And so it was that during the week I received a nice little note from, let's see, it's from Beatrice. And she makes some comments about the previous show, but she says, I hope you will talk about Charlottesville. And it occurred to me that, you know, well, I probably wouldn't if she didn't ask, because I thought we had already been through there. But it just hits me that, you know, we say it right at the beginning of the show. This is about for the neophyte as well, people who want to understand a deeper understanding of faith. And the reason why I wouldn't do Charlottesville and I is because I at least those of you who've been on board for a while know where I go with all that, right? These are just politics. And yeah, you know, they're always going to let you down. Politicians will always, always let you down. What? I mean, you know, there's a saying, right? Albert Einstein said, insanity is doing the same things over and over again and expecting different results. And so Donald Trump gets up and he makes a statement about Charlottesville, and he equates the work of the Nazis, the neo-Nazis, with the protests of the people against the Nazis. And he says, equates it in the sense that he says, well, you know, there's good people on both sides. What did you expect? What did you expect him to say? So insanity is not him. It's you, it's me, if we want to believe that he's going to give us something new. He's going to say this. We heard it through the campaign. We've heard it in the national dialogue. We've heard it all around us, right? Look at the level of intolerance that we have towards one another. Time magazine came out with an interesting story, and I have to be frank with you, I haven't had a chance to read it yet, but it's the cover story. It's about hate in America. Hey, can you imagine? We're in 2017, where we're supposed to be liberal, we're supposed to understand, liberal in the sense that, you know, we know what's going on in the world, and yet we still are harboring hatred towards one another. We still have this belief that certain people, just by virtue of who they are, how they were born, are better than other people. We still believe this, yeah. Yeah, they do. They tell you about the superiority of certain people. White supremacy. There's black supremacy, too. There's kinds of people that are talking about stuff. And we are, like, at one another instead of understanding, hey, we occupied that same little blue dot. Right? Instead, we talk about, like, oh, we were from different places. No, look at the cosmos and get the answer that you're looking for. This week was about understanding the bigger picture. Now, can we understand the bigger picture for ourselves? Well, it requires what we do here on Armadoxy, what we do here on The Next Step. It's looking beyond the politics. And I'm not just talking about Democrat, Republican. I mean, what did you expect from Donald Trump? Charlottesville, that happens. Did you expect something different? He was going to say something different? If you did, well, then answer the question of insanity, right? Doing the same thing and expecting different results. You expected something different? And, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. You know where I come from. Those of you who've listened, you know how I felt politically. I even went out on the campaign trail for politicians. But I'm at a point right now in life that I look back on it and I realize that, okay, there's a time for everything and there's a time for maturity. There's a time for us to understand that these politics are really something that are getting us more into trouble. You know, we blame religion. Have we ever thought about blaming politics? and really revamping the system so we start talking about humanity instead of politics, about the need to reach out to one another? Why is it every time that there is a catastrophe around us, our only answer is to escalate the catastrophes? There's a fire. Let's put it out with more fire. No, let's put out the fire with water. Let's pull up a hose and put out the fire. Can we do that? Is it pie in the sky? Is it unrealistic? Well, it has to start someplace. When Jesus said, "He who lives by the sword shall die by the sword," he's stating an axiom. It's a truth. It's a truth. He's not saying this is how we seek revenge. He's not saying that, okay, if you live by the sword, then I'm going to make sure you die by the sword. No, it's just an axiom. You pick up a sword, you're going to die by the sword. It's a truth. And likewise, it's a truth. If you live by love, you can propagate that love. But it requires us to do something incredible, to have faith and to believe in what we've been preaching. And that's a difficult one. It's a very, very difficult step of faith. I talk about it easy, but you and I both know that it's very difficult to deliver on that because we're human. It's always easier to pick up more fire than it is to pick up the hose. But picking up the hose means that, yeah, you may get burnt a little bit, but at the end you can put out the fire. And this is where I want to share with you this personal event that took place for me at this eclipse of the sun. Because you see, the eclipse of the sun was eclipsed in itself. We got up to Portland and everything was eclipse oriented. I'll try to put pictures on today's show notes. Take a look at some of the pictures. They're cute. You know, they were calling it the eclipse weekend. They were calling it, come by and buy tires, eclipse tires. Yeah. There was eclipsicles. These were like the donuts. My son Christopher and I, we went to a place called Voodoo Donuts. And they had the eclipse donut. Filled with the yumminess inside and on the outside. Oh, it looked like an eclipse. Voodoo donuts. Ooh. And we actually stood in line over there. Hey, that's an experience. But I'll tell you something, don't do it. At the end of it, you just realize, oh, here's another gimmick over there. They were eclipsing the eclipse, talking about all the things that could distract you from this wondrous event that was going to happen. So you had the eclipse sales, you had eclipse events, and so on and so on. Eclipsing the eclipse. Okay, all that happens. And then we were there on the day of the eclipse. Now this is Monday morning. And we were in Portland, and we started watching the news, and we started finding out that there was long lines to get from Portland to Salem, and the traffic conditions were horrendous, and there was a chance that we might not make it down there in time to actually witness it. And then somebody told us on the news, we heard that Portland was going to have a 99.7 or 99.3% of the totality. In other words, less than 1% of the sun would be showing. And so we stayed in Portland. We watched it from where we were staying at the house we were at. And it was remarkable. It was breathtaking. It was unique. Point of totality, we heard about it. We watched it on the news. Where we were, there was a 0.3% sliver of the sun showing. And it was bright. And I got to tell you, I was immediately let down. Because I knew people were cheering elsewhere and they were talking about the totality. And we had that 0.3%, that tiny little sliver. But it was bright. And that's why I told you at the beginning of today's show, I'm glad that there's a few days since this event, because I needed to process this. There was immediately the letdown that I wasn't there for. Total. It was dark. It got dark. There was shadows. There was colors. There was the effacement, right? The moon had come over, but there was this 0.3% of the sun showing. And it took me 2 or 3 days to process this, but I think that the attitude that I have in all things is to accept what God has given us and to be able to work with it. And that was my experience. My experience, our experience, was that 0.3%, which also needs to be witnessed to. Yes, everyone was talking about the totality experience, and here is a priest talking about the 0.3%, which has to have some value, and I'll tell you what that value is. That 0.3% shines too. That's how simple it is. The 0.3% of the sun, it is bright. And you think about the goodness in life. You think about the goodness that's all around you. Sometimes it looks like 99.7% of the bad is taken over, but that little 0.3% will shine. You just got to give it a chance to shine. You've just got to be able to focus in on that goodness. And I'm not just saying this to put things together, because I struggled with this for the last few days, meditating on it, meditating on that image that I saw up there, meditating on that reflection that was coming through to me through these dark glasses of this tiny little sliver of light that was still giving us light. And all around me, I'm hearing stories about Charlottesville. I'm hearing horror stories about nuclear escalation, North Korea. We're hearing about selling the nuclear arms to, or nuclear technology to Iran. And what's Iran going to do? We're talking about fences against our neighbors here in Mexico. And all this negativity, it wears at you, doesn't it? Of course it does. Of course it does. It wears at you. And what happened at the eclipse? We hit the reset button. The reset button was pressed. Now we have this opportunity to see the darkness cannot stand in the way of the light. The darkness cannot overcome the light. It's scriptural. It's scriptural. It's what Christ told us 2,000 years ago. The light is there to shine. The darkness tried to take over the light, but it failed. Even if there's that 0.3%, less than 1%, even if there's that 0.3% of light, it is enough to give us the light that we need, to give us the positivity that we need, and for us to reset our lives, reset ourselves, to understand at this point, I have a new chance. I have a new opportunity. And I'm part of the solution. Think about it. You're going to rely on politicians? You're going to rely on somebody who cares about the vote more than he cares about you or me or cares about this planet? His first obligation is to get those votes. Figure it out. Insanity, doing the same thing over and over, expecting different results. We'll rely on politicians and we'll expect different results. Forget it, folks. Forget it. These people are not there to serve you. It's time for us to understand that there is a power that is God-given and it's in our hands. And this is not a violent power. It's a power of love. It's a power that has been given to us from the beginning of all eternity. It's what puts everything in motion, is to understand, to walk in the shoes of others, to feel the pain of others, to reach out to others. And it begins with us. It begins with us, each and every one of us, understanding that we have compassion built into our system. It is part of the mystery. Yes, there is no data evidence to say that compassion is a component, but we know it's built into the system, right? Don't we? We feel it. Can you deny that? Can you deny that feeling? And it's really hard for me because I'm building on stuff. I'm building on what I've presented to you through the years. So you come into it and you say, okay, well, it's just a bashing of politicians. No, it's not. It's an understanding that it's in our hands, each of us, ordained by God, to be a representative of God, to be a representative of, no, not some grand idea, a representative of love. You see, this is what St. John the Evangelist says in Scripture. He says, God is love. So when I say a representative of God, what am I saying? You're a representative of love. Get out there and share. Do the good things. Do what you're called to do, to share and to love. And realize that you may be that 3%, that 0.3%. You may be that little sliver of the sun shining through. And it's so necessary. Because the darkness is all around, and you need to dispel the darkness. That's the beauty of Christianity. That's what Christ was all about. That there is no special race. There is no special people. There is no chosen people. We're all chosen by God. You are a creation of God. No better and no less than anyone else. And our only hope is for us to see that within each and every one of us on this planet. That's the only hope that we have. And yes, we do fail. But God gives us a chance to hit that reset button, to start wondering again, to start looking and seeing ourselves on that tiny little blue dot, and understanding that, hey, you know, we can do it. There is room for optimism. There is room for that light to shine on us. And every day we need to witness to that light. And that's our only hope. The eclipse of 2017, the great American eclipse, was truly a moving event. It moved us in many, many different ways. And I'm sure that as we meditate on it, we think about it, there'll be new things that come up. But right now, this is a priest who experienced it, who felt it, and wanted to share it with you. It was a light that was taken away, but not forever. It was a glimmer of light that reached out beyond the eclipse and touched us, touched me, touched each of us in a very special way to give us hope, to give us a belief that tomorrow can be better. Eclipsed. But not taken away. Let's take a break right now. Let Susie make her announcement. I'll be back in a few moments, okay?
Susie here again. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We are now in the 10th year of producing shows, which are heard around 6 continents. Since 2008, we have been providing quality programming through podcasts, educational videos, and streams, using technology's most current resources. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties, including the challenge to bring peace to a hurting world. To become part of this dynamic ministry, please take a moment now to visit inhisshoes.org website and press on the donate button. Your encouragement goes a long way. Please accept our heartfelt appreciation. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Thank you, Susie, for that announcement. And thank you to all of you for the wonderful letters, the encouragement that you send along our way. And, you know, this week when I was up in Portland, celebrated the Divine Liturgy there, I take all of you with me. I really do. In my prayers, in my private prayers, I remember not only the staff here, I just remember all of you and the beautiful comments you sent to me. Thank you very much for being part of our lives. And I said it a few minutes ago, I thank you for this opportunity that you give us to share these thoughts, to share these insights that we derived along the way. And I want to just encourage you to get involved with us, get involved at your local level. You know, don't make this a replacement for your church. But I do know that it's getting more and more difficult to find churches that that are really expressing the early apostolic message, the Christ message, the message of love, of compassion, of reaching out to one another. It gets difficult, I know. Especially in this day and age where we're so quick to put up labels and make those divisions more concrete, the walls that we put up. So take some time to pray for this ministry, to pray for your involvement in this ministry, to understand that, you know, it is in our hands. I know, I get on my soapbox sometimes, and I talk about these politicians, and it's just because I've been burnt, and I look at this world, and I look at what this world needs now, and I know it sounds cliche, I know it sounds like 260s. What the world really needs is love. And are we providing that love? Are we reaching out in ways that Christ has commanded us? His was not to put up walls. His was to extend ourselves beyond the walls. That's what Christianity is about. Christianity is the expression of love. Christ says it in no uncertain terms. By this, they will know that you are my children, that you love one another. I mean, don't complicate it. That's how easy it is. So this is an invitation to get involved with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can drop us a note at feedback@epostle.net. And, of course, get involved with us at inhisshoesepostle.net. Facebook, yeah, all kinds of stuff going on. Facebook, on YouTube, our Armadoxy channel, all kinds of stuff there, our Armadoxy blog. We would love to hear from you and see what you have to say. Anyway, I don't know if we're going to come back to the eclipse. I have a feeling we're going to be talking about this for some time. It does touch us in a very unique way. And I hope today's podcast touched you in a very unique way. I know that the event and the activities this past week have been life-changing in many ways. They've been surreal. I look upon them. They're flashing back in my memory and coming back to me. And it's a little bit difficult to put my arms around it. And I'm comfortable saying that I can't. And I'm comfortable saying that I relegate it to mystery. It is the mystery that I call God, and I'm fine with that. So I hope you're there with me. I'd love to hear from you. As I said, feedback@epostle.net. Drop us a line and at all the usual spots. Hey, listen, I want to thank you for joining us for today's podcast. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed putting it together. On behalf of all the wonderful people who put today's podcast together, Ken, our engineer and guy who laced together that medley of sun songs, and Susie, our producer, this is Father Voskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
To ask you if you're seeing the same sky as we are.
So when you look into the sun and see the the words you could have sung. It's not too late, only begun. Look into the sun.